Good morning again. How is everyone doing? Good. It's always great to worship the Lord, always great, but in Easter and in Christmas, it's even more special, isn't it? Just those special mornings where we come together and we just sing songs and celebrating Jesus and all that he's done for us. And hopefully that's how you look at this Christmas season. Hopefully you enjoy that. It's so great to have all of you here today. People have many Christmas traditions, don't they? And I hope you've established some of those traditions in your own life. If you have not done that, I encourage you to do that. Maybe some of your Christmas traditions that you have in your own life is you go out and you drive around and look at all the Christmas decorations. How many people ever do that? Drive around and look at it. That's great to do, and I enjoy doing that. Maybe some of your Christmas traditions, you gather together and you read the Christmas story. I encourage you to use Luke chapter 2 if you're going to do that. Maybe you gather together and you sing Christmas songs together, or you decorate cookies together, and my family does it, or you kind of get together and you decorate the tree together. Whatever Christmas traditions that you have, I make sure you make Christ the center of your celebration. And not only make him the center of this season that we're in and on Christmas Day, make sure that Jesus is the centerpiece of all of your life, right? That's where he needs to be. That's where he wants to be. That's why he came, so he can be the centerpiece of everything. Today I want to share with you what Christmas is really all about, the true meaning of Christmas and why Jesus came into this world in which we're at. One of the things that I love about this time of season as we gather together in unity to celebrate Jesus. And I love that. This is my favorite season, just to let you know. I love the summer and being outside, but Christmas season is just so special. It's just so sweet because we celebrate that God stepped into the world. And when we understand that, we understand that is so awesome. The greatest thing that ever happened, that Jesus stepped into this world. The Bible refers to the church as a household of faith. In other words, the church is a family. It's a spiritual family is what it is. And today what I want to talk to you about is how you can be a part of God's family. Because that's why Jesus came. And this is the true meaning of Christmas. That's why he came. How do we become part of the family? Each one of us knows what it feels like to be distant from a family. And maybe you have geographical distance from family. And those people live far away geographically and you wish that we're near, right? You long for them. Hopefully they're coming in for Christmas here so you can see them. But that's not the worst type of distance from a family. There's also relational distance because of some disagreement or some tensions in the family. But there's also a spiritual distance that we can have, right? Well, the good news is that Jesus has overcome every barrier that separates us one from another. In fact, if Jesus inserted in the middle of our life, even our enemies, we can have peace with them, right? Because he creates a new spiritual family that we can be a part of, and it comes through Jesus Christ and what he wants us to know. And today I want you to receive that redemption of Jesus as the title of the message is. We're going to go to a passage of scripture this morning that's not the typical Christmas passage in one of the Gospels. But if you see it up on the screen, if you could turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, I'd appreciate that. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Galatians, he called them, to area of Galatia. Now, Galatians is in the New Testament. It's in, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then Galatians. I believe it's the 9th book in the New Testament, if you can find that. And I said all that so you would have time to find that book this morning. So let's read from Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and see what the Apostle Paul has for us this morning. He says, I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers till the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. I love this passage of scripture because it reminds us of the series that we've been in, is God with us. That's a series we're in. We started it last week. What does it mean, what we looked at last week, what does it mean that God took on flesh? You ever think about that? What does that mean? That the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, stepped into the world. The Bible talks about that he became incarnate. And the incarnate Jesus means in the flesh. That the God of heaven came down to this earth, and he took on humanity, took on flesh, that he became the God-man, which is really important, Really important truth. He became the God-man to walk on this earth, right? Some have called it the divine intervention, in which God came down, and that Jesus stepped in their brokenness to bring us peace and hope and forgiveness so we can have peace with God is the reason he came, right? When we looked at the significance of that last week, and today I want to talk to you, the Sunday before Christmas, what the coming of Jesus into the world actually means. What is that all about? For you and me, what that first Christmas was really all about, so you and I can be part of the family of God. To come in and to bridge the gap between that existed between us and God. That's why Jesus came, to bridge the gap that was between us. To break us free from those things that keep us from the family and restoring God's favor in our lives. That's the reason Jesus came, to break it all down. And so the Apostle Paul, and maybe in these verses you saw it, hopefully you did see some of the things, he lays out some really important things for us to know that ultimately leads us to embrace the redemption of Jesus, because that's what he wants us to do. And I want to look at three things this morning, or three steps. Hopefully you have your outlines ready. If you don't, you can pick one up right up the center door, the ministry counter. Those, and I want to talk to those this morning that maybe this morning you're feeling heavy hearts and you're feeling kind of far away from God. Far away from God. You feel like he's distant from you for some reason. Maybe because of your own mistakes or your bad choices. Or maybe it's just because of the brokenness of this world that's all around us. And you feel that God is far away from you. You know, I wish I could tell you that the greatest gift you're going to receive this Christmas is underneath that Christmas tree. That gift you're going to receive under that tree is going to change your life forever. But the truth of the matter is that those things we get at Christmas time, as you all know it, as great as they may be, and I'm not trying to say they're not great and they're good and all that kind of thing, but they break, they wear out, they get old, we get bored with them, and we cast them aside. And they're here today and they're gone tomorrow, right? That's the truth about all the gifts that we receive. They're wonderful and they're amazing, but that's what happens. But there's a gift that never stops giving. It gives and gives and gives, and it never wears out. It never wears out. And how many are grateful for the gift of salvation, for the gift of Jesus that we have is what he came to do, his redemption, his mercy, his forgiveness of sins, and his blessings in our life? That's what Christmas is all about. That's what it's all about. We don't want to miss that, what it's all about. And by the way, that's something that we need to make sure we press in on our children. They remember the real true reason for Christmas. There was one father who played a game with his children. And after they opened up all the presents underneath the tree, he sent them on a scavenger hunt. And he would give them clues. So he'd finally come to this one big box. And in that big box, as they opened it, was the Bible, was the Word of God. And it's that dad's way of reminding them that about the greatest gift that God has spoken. He didn't leave it to mystery. But how you and I can experience his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, how we can have eternity with God, how we can be part of the family of God and receive the greatest gift that has ever been given, the redemption of Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted his children to understand. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. So if you have your outlines, I want to give you three steps needed to receive your redemption this morning. And some of you say, I know it. That's wonderful. You can share it with someone this Christmas season. That's what I'm hoping. So the first step he tells us in here in this passage of scripture, maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. You have to recognize your condition is what he says. We have to recognize our condition, the condition we're in. Let's read verse 1, the beginning of verse 1. Starts off there. He says, I mean that the heir, as long as it's a child, is no different from a slave. Here's what Paul lays out for us. The thing that keeps us from the family of God is what he says, that the fact that we are slaves to something. And the enslavement to what he calls in verse 3, we're going to read it in a moment, the elementary principles of the world is what he says. So let's read verses 1 through 3 and see what he's saying here. We read it before, let's read it again. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Paul wants us to know in these three verses that sin is more than just activities that you and I indulge in occasionally. He wants us to know that. That sin, when it's in our lives, it really becomes a master. It enslaves us. It puts us in prison, what he says. And we become a slave to sin, slave to its wants, a slave to those things out there. And maybe you know what it's like to be bound to something. Maybe you understand what that is. Maybe when you think of enslavement, you think of addictions, things like drugs and alcohol, or maybe something is visibly destructive to your life. Or maybe when you think of enslavement, enslaved to someone else. That's not all what Paul is referring to here. What Paul is talking about when he says about the elementary principles of this world, he's really focusing on a contrast here, a contrast with the things of this world and against the heavenly things that our heart and our affection should be set on, is what he's saying. These are the things you should be looking at. Your heart should be set on. We should be waking up every day thanking God for the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. Every morning we should be waking up that way. We should be waking up every morning thinking about the blessings we have because of his presence in our life each and every day that drives us to purpose and mission and meaning in our lives because of him. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, that the love of God compels us because he loves us, and understand how much that he loves us, that I want to serve him, that I want to give my life for him, he says. And so that should be our focus. But instead of our focus many times on heavenly things, how often we find ourselves more fixated on the things of this world, on earthly things. And maybe it's not drugs and alcohol, but maybe it's the politics of this world, which is a really big thing, and I bring that up a lot, because it's a big thing in the world. We become enslaved to the politics of the world. We can't stop watching it. We can't stop listening. We can't stop responding to it. And in social media, we think we got to say something. And we're looking for that person to come that's going to be the savior for us and can't do, bring salvation that only Jesus can bring. We're always looking for that person. We don't like maybe the person in the office or whatever, or who's running. And so we're looking for someone else that can change the world for us, but only Jesus can do that. And I love what Chuck Colson said. How many people remember Chuck Colson? He was in the White House for a while. He became a Christian after he got out of the White House. And he says this, that salvation will never fly in on the wings of Air Force One. How many agree with that? It never will, right? While Washington, D.C. has some power, and it does, how many know that heaven has all power? That God has all power. Yeah, that's what we need, is right, all power. But maybe it's not the politics of this world that you're enslaved to. Maybe it's the professional pursuits of our lives that we're enslaved to. How many have sacrificed a relationship with Jesus or even their family or maybe even their health to get ahead on for personal success and professional accomplishments? If you've given it all up for that. How many have become enslaved to money and possessions and things, and I got to have more, and I got to have more, and I want this stuff, and I want that, and become enslaved? So whether it's politics or your profession or possessions and the pursuit of these things, Paul says an enslavement to those things, those types of things that is keeping you and me from being part of the family of God. Those are the things we got our mind fixed on, those things. And what he's telling us is it's time for you to grow up. It's time for us to grow up so we can receive the full inheritance from God, what he has for us. Because those things, when we fix our mind, doesn't mean we can't have those things in our life, but we fix our minds on those things, they keep us from receiving what the true thing is, what God has for us so many times. And he says, it's time for us to grow up. And he uses an analogy here. And this is an analogy many of us can relate to. If you've ever kind of went through any time of estate planning or anything, they ask you a series of questions there. Who's going to be the guardian to your children if they're minor children? Who's going to be the trustee of your estate, right? And who's going to make all those decisions? And if you have adult children or older, hopefully you have one that has been blessed with some kind of responsibility that you can give that to. Hope you have at least one child you can do that. But if they're minors, this is what Paul is saying. If they're minors, even though the whole trust, the whole estate is theirs, he says. They can't experience the full inheritance, the full control of that, because they're minors, kept under guardians and managers and those who are trustees, is what he's saying. And then he says in the same way, and explain it to the Israelites, what he's trying to do, explain to them and relate to them, that the law was given by Moses. Moses was an early leader to the Israelites. It says the law was meant to bring them into the awareness of their sin, so they would recognize their need for a savior. So they would recognize that I need help to get to God, that I can't get there on my own. But it's not through my performance, it's not through my good works in which I'm going to experience salvation, which I'm going to be right with God, which I'm going to get to heaven, right? It's not through our own works, is what he's saying. I'm not going to get there on my own, right? But it's going to be because of God's grace. It's going to be because God does something for me, is what he's saying. It's going to be because God does something for me. And I'm so glad that God frees us from that problem of you and I trying to get God's favor by my good works. That somehow I got to do this in order to earn God's favor, because that's not the way the Bible works. That's the way heaven works. That's not the way God works. The fact of the matter is you and I can't do enough good works to earn our salvation. We can't do enough good works to get into heaven, right? And that's why I thank God, and hopefully you do this as well this morning, that salvation is by grace through faith. It's a free gift. And it's offered to everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't you praise God for that? That it's not about me working, or I got to be this good, or I got to be that good in order to get to heaven. Because if it's up to me, guys, I'll fail every day. I'll fail every day. Thank God it's up to Jesus, what he's done for me. Praise God for that. So he says that the second step needed to receive your redemption, and it kind of goes along with that. You need to trust in God's saving action is what he's saying. You need to trust what God has done for you. Look what he says in verse 4 and 5. He says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those under the law. Here's what Christmas is all about. He's giving us here. He says, when the time was right, God chose to send his son into the world. Man, a lot of things were right at that time in the environment and in the circumstances, but it was up to God when the time was right. God said, I'm sending forth my son. God sent Jesus into the world for a purpose. The Son of God came for a purpose. And this is what Paul is laying out here. And what is the purpose that he came for? He tells us right there. He uses the word redeem. Redeem. There's the purpose, to redeem. How many have ever heard that word before? Redeem. Redeem. It's kind of a financial term. It's an economic term. And he uses it. You think, how would he use that with about Jesus? To redeem something is to purchase something. It's to buy something back. And that's the word. That's why he came. And what Paul wants us to understand is this, that there was a transaction that took place in the cross of Christ, a transaction. We were enslaved to sin. We were in debt to sin. And if sin was a debt, there would be a debt today with many, many, many zeros behind it, right? Many zeros. We were in such a huge debt of sin. And every time we disobey God, we get deeper and deeper in debt till we're weighed down with all of our sin. How many of you maybe know what it is to be by the crush of the weight of your own debt? How many of you know what it is like to be crushed into something you can never repay? You and I could live 1,000 lives. We never could repay that sin debt back to God of all of our mistakes, of all of our failures, of all our hurts that we've done. No, there has to be something else that can help us, because I can't get there on my own. I can't do that all by myself. And that is God's divine intervention. It's a divine intervention that happened. This is Jesus saying to us that you can't pay the price for your sins, that the gap between you and God is way too great. There's no way that you can get there on your own. And Jesus saying, I will pay that price for you. That when the gavel of heaven comes raining down and renders you guilty, Jesus will stand up and say, I'll pay that price for you. I'll pay for your sins. I'll lay down my life for you. And maybe you've never had no one love you that way, but that's the way that Jesus loves you. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, while we were God haters, while we were in enmity with God, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And today I want you to understand that Jesus loves you in spite of all that you've done. Doesn't matter how bad you've been, all the things you've done, all the mistakes, all the failures, he loves you. And one of the worst things that you and I can do is when we look at Jesus to disqualify ourselves from his grace and all of his salvation, because I've done too many bad things, there's no way. How many have already kind of did the calculating and said, I've calculated and I've done so many bad things that it's impossible for me to be made right with God? And sometimes we do that. We do the calculations, man, you don't realize of all the things that I've done, all the people that I've hurt, and all the wrongs, and all the thoughts, and all these things that I've done. How many people I've cheated, and maybe stolen, all these kind of things, and I've done all these things. There's no way I can be made right with God. Let me just say this. It's never too early or too late to trust in Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what he's done. That's what matters. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how much sin and all those things. It matters what he's done is what the Bible said. There's no sin on earth is greater than what Jesus did for you upon that cross. Trust in Jesus for your salvation. He can make us right with God, and he can make you right with God. No matter what you've done, he can make you right with God. It doesn't matter what you've done. That doesn't matter. It matters what he's done. Paul concludes by saying that we've been redeemed. It's a huge word. Then he's going to go on to another point. One of the things that redemption, that we need to understand about redemption, is that redemption is about paying a ransom. That sin held us as a hostage, held us in prison. We were in captive in our sins. And we couldn't even see right from wrong because we were enslaved to the flesh, what we wanted. And many people live like that. Look at the people in the world, they live like that, right? But Jesus pays the ransom so you and I can be free from all those things. We can be free from that. You don't have to be bound anymore to your past mistakes, to your past failures, to all those past hurts. You don't have to be free. Today can be a new beginning. That's what Jesus came for us. So we don't have to be bound for all those things that we've done. And so many times we live in captivity. We're bound to those things. I've hurt this person. I've hurt that person. And I can't go on. And Jesus said, I come to free you from all of those kind of things. So you can be free and start new again. I think as I get older, it's interesting to me that my wants for Christmas change many times. You know, when you're younger, you want the newest toy, right? When you become kind of a teenager, at least I believe this, you kind of start wanting clothes and stuff like that. You start maybe a video game and stuff once in a while. But when you're a young adult, maybe you want to go on some vacation or something else like that. But when you get older, many times you want things that money can't buy, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. You can ask my wife, I still like stuff. I still like things. Don't get me wrong. But you start wanting things that money can't buy. When I got older, one of the things that I realized I want is to have peace in my life with God. I know that's what I want. I want peace in my life with God, and I want my children to have peace with God, and I want my grandchildren to have peace with God. As a pastor, I want all you to have peace with God, and I want you to have the blessings of God in your life, because that's what God wants for us, because we can be a prisoner to our past. So many people are. They're a prisoner to their past, and they can't escape of the things that they've done, and every day they haunt them. They're there, and they're just captivated by them. We can be a prisoner to our mistakes, of all those things that we've done. We can be a prisoner to the failures that we've had that mark our life, that mark us each and every day. Well, I tried it, and I failed, and I'm a failure. And we look at that. They marked our lives. They mark our resumes, and they hold us back. They hold us in captive, in prison so many times in our lives. And Jesus says, I paid the ransom price. For all those things, for everything you've done, I paid it for you. And he delivers us from the stronghold of our past, from our mistakes, from sin and Satan that's held us captive so long and made us miserable in our lives so many times. And many times make us bitter and angry. And Jesus said, I came to free you from all of those things, to bring you into a new relationship, a new beginning with joy and love and peace and hope is what he wants. And he calls us to freedom, freedom that every one of us can have in Jesus. But why? Why does he do that? That's the third point in our outline. The third step needed to receive your redemption. He says you are adopted into the family of God. That all of our problems now become his problems. That's what he's telling. That we've been adopted into the family of God. And my problems are now God's problems. So I can release them to him. And I don't have to be captive by them anymore. Look what he says in the second part of verse 5 and verse 6 and 7. He says, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son and daughter. And if a son, then an heir through God is what he's saying. He uses redemption, which is an economic term, right? Which is really a financial term. He uses an adoption, which is a family term. It's a relational term, what he's talking about. He says that you're no longer an orphan. You are no longer cut off from the family of God, is what he says. He said, when you trust in God's saving action, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, everything changes, he says. Your status changes, and you become now full sons and daughters of God. That's what he says. And that's a big thing. Whether you realize it or not, that's what you want in your life. You want to be a son or daughter of God. That's what we all need. That's what we need the most, to make sure we're a son and daughter of God living under his blessings in our life, right? His forgiveness. And God wants you to know there's no difference, he says, between Jew or Greek who comes to Jesus. There's no difference between rich or poor or status. There's no difference no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what race you are. We get in all the same way, right? And it's through faith in the Son of God. It's through faith in Jesus is what he's saying. And we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We are fully sons and daughters, is what he's saying. We have full rights as children of God and access to God, that we belong to the family of God. There's no greater family. God created everything with his powerful words in 6 days, and we belong to the God of the universe, is what he says, through faith in Jesus, which is a great thing, right? And so the good news this morning, that we don't have to feel distant from God. We don't have to feel like we're far from God. None of us have to feel that way. That Christ has come so we can know his closeness, and you and I can be a part of the family of God, because that's what he wants. Whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, and that means Daddy. That God wants us to have an intimate relationship with. We come and know that God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son for us. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves us. He said, I gave my son for you. He laid down his life for you. I love you that much. And I don't know of another faith. I don't know of another religion that gives this type of relationship with God. I don't know of any other. See, other religions give you rules that you have to abide by, but that's not the Christian faith. That's not the way of the Christian faith. We don't get more rules. We get a relationship with the God who loves us. And we get a Savior who never leaves us or forsakes us. That's with us forever and ever and ever. That's what he promises us. And today I would encourage you, this Christmas, don't miss it, to unwrap the greatest gift that's ever been given. The gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus. And it's not far from each and every one of us. It's right there. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you don't even know what I'm talking about. You don't even know what Christmas is talking about. You need to listen to me. It's real important. And I kind of share this each week, but I'm trying to do a little more detail. You need to know that God loves you. He loves you. Don't ever doubt God's love. All you have to do is look at the cross that he sent his son to die on the cross for you because he loves you. But you have to recognize that God is holy, just, righteous and perfect and sinless and all those things, and you and I are not. I'm not. I'm a sinner. I'm not righteous. I'm not any of those things. And so there's a great gap between us and God. There's no way that we can reach that gap. There's no way we can get to God on our own. And left by ourselves, we will spend an eternity apart from God forever. From God, we will. There's no way you can get to heaven on our own. There's no way we can get to God. So God, because he loves you, because of his grace, in his mercy, he sent forth his son, Jesus, who's the son of God, who is God, and he comes down to this earth, and he takes on humanity, takes on flesh, and he takes on to be the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. Now understand this, why this is so important, because we need someone that can bridge the gap between God and humanity, between us. We need someone that's holy, perfect, sinless, righteous, and just. But we need someone also that can represent us. That's perfect, that never sinned. That's perfect. Not like us, but better than us, that never sinned. And who can fit that bill? Who can be that person that can represent God and represent humanity? There's only one. It's Jesus, the God-man. That's why he came. That's why when you hear anybody say, someone else, I can get to heaven any other way. No, you can't. There's only one way. There's only one person that could represent God, that was good as God, that is God, and could represent humanity. There's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ, who came down to this earth as God and took on humanity. And the Bible says he lived a life that you and I can never live, sinless, perfect life, what God wanted us to live, but we couldn't do that. And then Jesus goes to the cross, and God the Father placed all of your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world upon Jesus. All your past, present, and future sins were placed upon Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He paid for your sins completely. He said, it's finished. It's done. It's complete. I paid for all of them. Your sin debt is paid in full before God. He paid for it. The Bible says that he was buried. Means he really did die on that cross. And then he rose from the grave on the third day with all power in his hands. And he's offering you today, you and I, a relationship with God, to be part of the family of God, forgiveness of sins, reconciled to God. But you and I have to receive that by faith, what Jesus has done. The Bible says in John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So there has to be a time in our life we come and we recognize, this is how you do it, to accept Jesus and become part of the family of God. I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I'm separated from God. Why would you need a Savior? Why would you need help if you think you're all right with God? We have to recognize I'm a sinner and I'm separated from God. And so you first have to recognize this. You have to recognize, too, that Jesus, who he is, that he's the Son of God, that he's God. He's just not another man. For another man dying on the cross for me, he can't do me anything. But I need a Savior. I need the God-man, Jesus, the only one that could do what I needed. And he goes to the cross and he dies. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's God. And I also believe that he died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, and paid your sin debt in full. And today, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. If you've never done that, please do that today. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you do that by simply saying, God, I come to you today and I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and raised on the third day. And today, I put my faith and trust in Jesus. If you've never done that, do that today. Accept him today. That's how you get in the family of God. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came in to redeem us so you and I can be part of his family, so we might know God. That's why I came. Accept him today. Your sins are forgiven. You're reconciled to God. Your hope is in to be with Jesus one day in heaven. That's how we get in. That's why I came. If you have questions about that, see me after the service. But understand that's what Christmas is all about. If you know Jesus as your Savior, please listen to me. Pick up this book and read it. I encourage you to read the Bible. Understand who you are. Understand all that you have in Jesus. Understand what he did for you. And it should move us in our hearts and minds. You know, what good is a will if you never read it? What good is a will if you never read it? This is our will. There's blessing in the will. This is our inheritance that he gives us right in here in this word of God. So I encourage you to read it, to study it, so you know your rights in Jesus, so you know your identity, so you know who you are, and live for the purpose that he gives you, full of joy, understanding what Christmas is all about, that Jesus came into the world to redeem us so you and I might have a relationship with him and be part of the family of God. If Christmas that you have, and I told you I love Christmas, I love all the decorations, and if your Christmas is all about the decorations, the trees, the gifts, the food, the cookies, and they're all great, all those things are great, and have family and all that, if that's what your Christmas, that's good, but it's only for a short time. It's only for a short time. But if you understand the full meaning of Christmas and you know Jesus, then Christmas is for eternity. Your celebration's for eternity. That's what it's supposed to be. That Jesus came into the world so you and I might spend eternity with the God of heaven. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is about. Don't miss the full meaning of Christmas. We think of Christmas, all these other things are nice, but don't miss what really it's about. It's this one time a year when you and I can come and understand that it's about Jesus. And if you've never put your faith and trust in him, do that today. Yes, he came as a baby in humility, but one day he's coming back again, and he's not coming in humility. He's coming in all of his glory and power and strength as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Know him now. Know him now. Put your faith and trust in him. That's what Christmas is about. That's what we're celebrating here comes Thursday, about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that he came into this world so you and I might know him. Amen? If you don't know him, please see me. It's the most important decision you can ever make, and you will not be sorry if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We praise you, Lord, that for us who know you, for us to know you, Lord, that we understand all that we have in Jesus, that what you came to do, Lord, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to come here, but your love compelled you to do that. And you came, and Lord, you did, went through what we couldn't imagine what you went through. You came in humility, born as a baby, but grew up and went to the cross, and you went through that torturous death on that cross, and people mocking you and doing all kinds of things to you, and all that hanging up there on the cross and went through. And all of our sins placed upon you. And you did that because you love us. And that's why you stepped into the world, because you love us. Lord, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would just convict any person here that maybe not know you, that never put their faith and trust in you, doesn't think they need you. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit convict them that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And there's no way they can get to heaven without Jesus. No one's going to get to heaven on their own. There will no one get to heaven on their own. Everyone needs help, and there's only help you've given to us, your son Jesus. Convict us this morning of that. Lord, I pray, and so thank you so much that every one of us who know you, that our Christmas be full of joy and excitement, not because of the circumstances around us, but help us our Christmas be filled because of you. Full joy, Lord. Give us full joy. Excitement. Let us be in awe and wonder of who you are, that our God loves us, that he stepped into this world to redeem us, to save us. That's our God. Lord, we praise you, we thank you. As we continue to sing these songs, Lord, may they bring you glory. May they be a sweet aroma unto you, a sacrifice of praise. Lord, work in our hearts and minds this morning. Draw us closer to Lord. Let us experience you in a very close and intimate way. And Lord, we ask these things in that precious name of Jesus. Amen.